Psalm 139. We need to fall in love. We need to become in awe with the omniscience of God. The omniscience of God. Man, just stand back and think about, man, God knows everything. How did he know that? Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Man, what an awesome wonder. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The omniscience of God. Thou hast been beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is, look at this. The psalmist is in awe. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Who Wants to Be a Child Again? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Who Wants to Be a Child Again?
And God lifted up. And I'm not saying that we need to bow and bend to the whims of others at all. I'm not saying that. But I mean, we need to have that kind of spirit. We need to have that kind of humility. And that's what Jesus is pointing out here. The humility of a child. That innocence, that humbleness, just to be able to come and to do the things that God would have you to do. And that you are not going to put up a fight. You're not going to resist. But you're going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. As we got finished singing here just a little while. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. That's the attitude that God is looking for. That's the attitude of humility. The second thing we see about a child is that when we talk of our Advent theme, come as a child. Oh, come as a child. That's what God is looking for. God is looking for some folk who will say, I'll be that child and I'll come. Jesus said, except you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The phrase little children, very interesting Greek word, comes from the Greek word paedion, which actually means, listen to this, little child, young boy, young girl, or even what? An infant. An infant. The word that Jesus uses, he could have used another word to refer to a teenager. He could have used another word to refer to an older child. But Jesus uses a word that refers to little children and even infants. Why? Because he wanted to show that this individual was dependent upon somebody else, that they couldn't do it on their own. And God is looking for folk who will be dependent on him. You know, as we think about moving across the street, the only way this is going to get done, if God does it. You know, we got to be dependent upon the Lord. We got to realize that God has all the resources. And as somebody said, as I have said over and over again, where God guides, he supplies. Where he leads, he feeds. And where he directs, he protects. If God gives the vision, God will fund the vision. His people got to depend upon him. You got to be dependent upon God. If we get to poking our chests out saying, look what we have done, man, we're on the way for failure. But if we will come, as the songwriter said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That's dependence upon God. Oh, there's a story in Acts chapter 17, if you would turn with me there. Acts chapter 17, where Paul ran into some scholars out on the Mars Hill in Athens. He was dealing with these individuals who were philosophers. And Paul was traveling through the country, and in Acts chapter 17, in verse 23, Paul said, for I passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. They had an inscription on the altar, to the unknown God. You know, they knew there was a God, but They didn't know that he could be known. They didn't know who he was, what his name was. So Paul takes a couple verses here, and Paul explains who this unknown God is. And then he says in verse 28, look at this. For in him we live and move and have our being. What does that mean? That means in this unknown God, let me explain him to you. Let me tell you a little bit about this unknown God. It is in this unknown God that if he was to take your breath away, you would cease to exist. It's in this unknown God, if he was to shut the reins of heaven up, the earth would not be watered. To this unknown God that you're talking about, if he was to shut off the food supply, you would starve to death. To this unknown God that I'm telling you about, if he was to take away all the air, you would stop breathing. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. In this unknown God, we are totally, totally dependent upon God. You know, it kills me when I look at folk that think that they have some degree of independence. You know, one of the things that, and I hope I don't offend any of our elderly members today, but one of the things that I think is going to be the most difficult thing in my life for me to do is when somebody comes to me, if I live long enough, and tell me that I can't drive anymore. Boy, that's going to be devastating. Man, I think I've got some degree of independence. You're just being able to get in a car and drive from point A to point B. And if you live long enough, that will be taken from you. But even with all the independence that I think I have now, the fact that I can drive from point A to point B, guess what? If God wasn't with me, I wouldn't make it. Think about what Brother Mike Cephas said, going down the highway. You know there's a God somewhere. That when you ride and your tire comes off, you know there's a God somewhere. And you depended on him. You know, for the seen and the unseen. In him, we live and move and have our being. There was a sign in the textile mill that says, when your thread becomes tangled, call the foreman. A young woman was new on the job, and her thread became tangled up, and she thought, well, I'll just straighten this out myself. And the harder she tried to straighten it out, the worse it got. Finally, she called the foreman and said, I did the best I could. The foreman said, no, you didn't. To do the best you could, you would have called me first. And see, that's the same way with God. Well, I did the best I could. No, the best you could is to call on God first. The best you could is to get up in your day and say, God, I'm dependent on you today. Lord, I'm dependent on you to help me, to walk with me through this day. God, I'm dependent on you to guide me step by step. That's the best that you can. The best that you can is when it comes time to make a decision that you're calling on God, saying, God, I need you. I need you to show me. I need you to guide me. I need you to provide for me. That's the best that you can. You see, a child is totally dependent upon someone else. Humility, dependence, then we see trust. A child has to trust. As stated in the above context, under the context of this passage, Jesus challenged the disciples to be converted and become like little children. The phrase be converted comes from the Greek word strepho, which translated turning or turning around. Jesus encourages them to turn from their own desires for greatness and to trust God to work in their lives according to his will. You see, turn away from those ambitions, those selfish ambitions. The disciples wanted to know who was going to be great in the kingdom. Well, you look, Peter might have said, well, you know, I went down and I got the coin out of the fish's mouth and paid the taxes. And John might have said, well, look, I was up at the Mount of Transfiguration. And others might have bragged and said, well, look, I cast out three demons, you only cast out two. You know, I was the one who went and got the fish from the little boy. And so everybody got, I'm going to be great in the kingdom. I'm going to be great in the kingdom. Jesus said, look, you need to put all that aside. And you need to turn. You need to turn. You need to strepho. You need to turn from the way you've been thinking. You need to turn away from that. And you need to turn to dependence and trust in me. Oh, I like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. A little child has to trust. Has to trust. There was a missionary that was translating a passage of scripture for some people who didn't have all the words and the language that lined up with the English language. And he was doing pretty good until he came to this whole idea of trust. And he couldn't, they didn't have a word for trust. And he was thinking, and he couldn't find this word for trust. And that began to bother him because he wanted to put this, you know, the words in the Bible that talked about trust, he wanted to put it into the language of the people. So there was on one occasion, one of the natives came and ran in and had something to tell him. And this native ran in to the place where he was translating. And the native ran in and just sat down like that and began to talk to him. And the man said, what's that word for what you just did? He said, what do you mean? He said, I've been looking for a word for trust to put in your language. And what you just did explains it perfectly. And he gave him that word. And the word actually meant to come and to lean on something else. To put your full weight and trust in something else. And isn't that what a child does? Doesn't a child put their full weight and trust in someone else? A child doesn't lean to his own understanding, but a child leans upon the parents. You know, that's the beautiful thing about children, is that they listen to what you say as they grow older. And I'll leave that alone this morning. That was good, man. You know, there was a time I could cut my son's hair a certain way. They didn't care, man. As Richard Pryor say, give them what they call the bowl cut. Put a bowl on your head and cut all around it. They didn't know the difference. You know? Tell them what clothes. Man, life was so simple then as a parent. So simple. But you know what? They got older, man. Things get complicated. Why? Because as little children, what do? They trust you. They trust you. Well, this is what my dad said. This is what my mom said. This is what I'm supposed to do. And they trust. And Jesus said that as we come, that we've got to come with that same trust. Where are you at today, my brothers and sisters? Do you have an adult faith? God is not looking for an adult faith. God is looking for a childlike faith. He's looking for someone with the simplicity of a child who will just say, God, I'm just naive enough to believe what you say is going to happen and what you say you're going to do, that you're going to do, and I'm just naive enough to trust you and believe you. That's what God is looking for right there, trust. And then we see wonder. Man, isn't it something that when you look at the wonder of a child, to be converted, to become like a little child, also infers an awe, a sense of awe and wonder. Little children are fascinated by the simplest things. You know, my grandson will get a set of keys and it will just occupy him for hours. Just, man, just awe. Just in awe of things like that. And I believe that sometimes God wants us as adults to get back to that awe. Just in the majesty of God. See, oftentimes we involve our minds with thoughts that are deep and complex. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that sometimes, you know, we deal with complex and deep things so much that the awesome wonders of God have just become mundane to us. And we need to fall in love afresh and anew with a childlike awe and wonder of who God is. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We're talking about coming as a child. Coming as a child, you know, as you think about Christmas and you think about the delight and the joy that lights up on the face of a child when they see the gifts and how they are in awe when they see the tree and all the presents that are underneath the tree. Psalm 139, we need to fall in love. We need to become in awe with the omniscience of God. The omniscience of God. Man, just stand back and think about, man, God knows everything. How did he know that? Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Man, what an awesome wonder. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The omniscience of God. Thou hast been beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is, look at this. The psalmist is in awe. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. But see, how many times do we stop and think about the omniscience of God? How many times, see, that's what Jesus is talking about. When he says become like a child again, he says sometimes you just need to stop and think about the omniscience of God. And that's what the writer here is doing. David, he's saying that, Lord, such knowledge is too awesome for me. It's too wonderful. Man, when I think about this, I'm about ready to blow the top off my head. This is so deep. I cannot attain it. And then to think about the omnipresence of God. Verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, thou art there. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now look at this. This is deep right here. This song, he really gets deep. For thou hast possessed my inward parts and covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and intricately wrought in the lower parts of the earth. That word substance comes from the Hebrew word that means the egg and the sperm coming together. Wow. That when the egg and the sperm came together, guess who was there? Man, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. That when the egg and the sperm came together, God was right there observing it. Your eyes, thy eyes, did see my substance, yet being unformed, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count, now look, not my thoughts toward the deacons, not God's thoughts toward the deacons, not God's thoughts toward the trustees, not God's thoughts toward the choir, not God's thoughts toward the ushers, but look at this. His thoughts toward me. Toward me. I'm getting a little selfish. You can get a little selfish. How precious are his thoughts towards me? How great is the sum of them? I can't even number them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. Man, just think right now. God has thousands of thoughts for you. Right where you're sitting, God has so many thoughts going on in his mind about you that you can't even believe it. He got more thoughts going on about you than you got about yourself. And the thing about his thoughts, they're all good. You know, they're all good. And so sometimes we just need to sit back like a child and meditate on the wonders of God. Just the wonders. And then I like, as he closes out here, search me, O God, in verse 23, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When was the last time you became like a child? And you just sat, and you just wandered. You just wandered. You were just in awe by God. the power of God, the omnipresence of God. Somebody said omnipresence. God left himself where he was at to go with himself where he was going to meet himself where he was at. You know? The omnipresence of God, the omnipotence of God, the fact that God don't change, that he's holy. I mean, just to become all. That's what God is. When God said become like a child, he said just fall in love with me all over again. The wonder. And then finally, I believe that when Jesus said come to me like a child, he was talking about this innocence of a child. Jesus understood that there is a certain innocence that a child possesses. Unless negatively influenced, which some are, you know, somebody was telling me the other day about these two little girls who, you know, were young girls in the Klan and going around talking hate and all this other kind of stuff. You know, now they were influenced by somebody else. Child don't know about that stuff. Only way a child's going to know it is for some knucklehead idiot adult to mess them up. That's the only way. And unless a negatively influenced, a child is not tainted with racial, social, or religious prejudice. A child's life is not enamored with complicated thinking patterns that combat against the purity of faith. You know, one of the problems I think that we have in the African-American community is that our children are forced to grow up too soon. They've lost that innocence. That innocence of just growing up and being kind of carefree. That innocence of being able to play with baby dolls and play with toy trucks and not have the responsibility of taking care of somebody else and not have the responsibility when mom has become irresponsible. You know, that messes up their innocence. You know, there's a certain innocence about that. And I believe that God has put that in the spirit of a child to work through that time in their life. That time of pure innocence where they just can be accepting and where they can just not have to be loaded down with all the junk that adults have to deal with. You know, hatred, prejudice. Responsibilities beyond their years. And they are laden down with that. Jesus said, come to me like a child. This child who is innocent. Well, what does this mean for the believer as I close the day? In John 8:36, Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus came to free people from bondage in order for them to do what it takes to please God. The Pharisees had put so many laws and so many added things on folk, they were going crazy. Jesus said, look, I came to set you free from all that. Jesus came to set people free from the prejudices of the world. He came to restore the childlike innocence that adults often lose in pursuing the vanities of this life. That as we pursue adult vanities, we lose that spiritual innocence that God wants us to have. Come. On the first Sunday of Advent, we invite you to come. Come as a child. Come as a child. Well, Pastor Glaze, how do I come as a child? You come in humility. You come dependent. You come trusting. You come with awe and wonder. And you come with innocence. That's what it means when the invitation is received.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Seven Wonders of the Word. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Who Wants to Be a Child Again? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Who Wants to Be a Child Again? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Who Wants to Be a Child Again? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.